Okay, doing it live is funner.
Yeah, we should do that every time.
Hey, everybody. It's the boys. It's your boys. Fantasy Boys Podcast. Bill Squire, Ryan DiPerna, Brian Kenny, and our guest this week,
Eric.
Eric, I already forgot your name. Sorry, Eric.
He has a professional life, so he can't keep it.
He's the masked man.
He can't keep his last name off of this.
Do you think people are tuning in out there?
You want to eat that mic a little more?
Eat it a little more.
There you go.
Stay up on it.
Yeah. People be listening.
People be listening. Cool. People be shopping.
Is your professional life very prominent in Japan or Sweden?
Because if that's the case, you're going to be found out. They have this profession over there.
Yes. Prostitution.
You could check a list to see if they're better at it than I am.
A hybrid marine biologist plumber because of their tentacle obsession.
I like your haircut, Ryan Seacrest.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm bringing it back. 2002 style. Right? Yeah. It just sucks, like, fucking shaving it to nothing to, like, fucking letting it grow back. It's like this awkward.
You mean like this?
Yeah, exactly.
It. You shave it.
Oh, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah, I'm
when
close.
You commit?
I mean, as soon as I just feel like getting it done. I haven't gotten a haircut in like 2 months.
Well, I'm pretty sure you can do that yourself.
Yeah, I did it myself.
I would fuck that up. I would do that myself.
Nah, it's if you're going like all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, it. Yeah.
Like, look in the mirror, use your camera.
Absolutely miss spots. I know this about myself. I'll have somebody else do it.
Have someone else do it, but don't pay anybody to do
it. Oh, no. Yeah. Well, I have girlfriend or my mom do it. Well, my mom refuses to do it on like the lowest setting because she's afraid of hurting me.
Have your girlfriend do it. She's afraid of nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure she likes hurting me at this point.
Mm-hmm. You are the Wolverine.
Yeah, the Wolverine. I forgot
It's a hard selling point as far as dating goes. The Wolverine.
Wait, this is the girl from the Wolverine?
No, this is not that girl. Okay. But I'm just saying that my Wolverine skills are a selling point in my dating life.
That girl, I met that girl separately from. I didn't know that was that girl, and she's a good egg. That one,
Wolverine girl.
Yeah.
Which Wolverine girl for like from the story is a mix of two girls.
Oh, okay. Well, then it was one blonde.
The blonde girl. Yeah. She is
we bumped
a large.
Into at the car show.
Nope, different one.
Okay.
She was a good egg.
She was okay. Me and that one. That was a very strange situation. She was like mid divorce.
Was that the one that?
But she had left the continent that they lived on together.
Oh, you're good then.
What was the one that wanted to just have a baby immediately and didn't even?
We never touched.
Yeah,
we had a weird pursed lip kiss because it was the second date.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was very pretty. I was enamored with this girl, and we went on one date, and it was kind of awkward because she like brought a friend. She came to a show,
a chaperone,
brought a friend, and then like we had a second date. I drove all the way out to fucking Fairlawn, which is like 48-minute drive. I take her out for sushi. I don't even like seafood, and then she gets enough plum wine in her that she tells me she wants babies. She wants babies now. I was like, do you know, are you like seeing somebody else kind of seriously where like having a child with them and being linked forever is something you're willing to do within a year? And she's like, I kind of wouldn't mind if somebody just put a baby in me and let me raise it. Those are exact phrases.
What a good egg. What a good egg.
That is like some a woman volunteering her uterus so I could be a deadbeat dad. I don't know how you held back, man.
I'm telling you, she had a baby in June. This all happened like late August of last year. It had to have been within 2 weeks' time that she
that
conceived
she went
baby.
And got a baby.
Yeah, she went and got one. She's with the guy still, apparently.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to take some initiative in your life.
He's
and grab
like
that bull by the horns.
Early 40s, so I think that it was just like
this
a,
like
this
his,
makes sense for
his
both of us.
Start over marriage.
Yeah, pretty much.
Start over. Boys are fresh off some awards, right? What'd you win? The best joke or something like that?
Best long form joke went to Brian Kenny.
Yeah, and it was the horse story.
Yeah, I got nominated for jokes I wrote years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I've made my changes over the years. It's not totally stale. But like, I got nominated for the Cleveland Comedy Awards. It's like
the most prestigious award show
in the history of award shows.
Yeah. But what was the category of your award?
The best long form joke. So long, long form joke.
Because it's a long story. Mm. Very funny story. Very good joke.
Was it Wolverine Girl?
You were nominated.
No.
They were nominated twice. You had 50% of the chance.
If you would have lost that would have been really embarrassing.
Well, I didn't know if they were going to cannibalize each other. If like 50% of the people that wanted to see Brian Kenny win this award would vote for one, and then 50% of the people who wanted to
I mean,
to
let's
vote
be honest.
The Sad Boys Social Club is the only ones that voted in this award.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys vote for anything?
No.
Yeah, neither did I.
I didn't vote for anything.
Yeah.
No. I didn't know how. Like, I think I clicked the link, and then it was, like, confusing. I'm like, I'm doing this.
Yeah, because I didn't give a shit. I will say, I had a fun time.
It was so fun. It was such
I really
a fun
enjoyed
time.
It. And, like, I was surprised at how long it was when I looked at my watch afterwards. Mm-hmm. It was long as shit.
Imagine
like
how long it
hours.
Was for, like, because we had fun because we were in on all the jokes. Imagine if you were just there as an observer
that
didn't know what the fuck was going on. And you're like, why are these people having so fun? I don't know who any of them are. And none of them are important.
It was very inside jokey, but I'd say a solid like 120 people came that weren't comics.
Yeah, it was packed.
Was speechless.
And they just like sat there and like for the most part did not laugh or enjoy themselves.
Speechless. What is
great. Yeah. Well, like some of the presenters too. Like they
Flint
just
was the best, the presenter of the night.
Flint was good, and every single thing James Earl Brassfield did was amazing.
Oh, but James is great. It was so funny when they announced, like, because they didn't read Teach These Devils. He's like, and whatever the podcast is. And I was sitting with him, and he's like, it's Teach These Devils, bitch. And he stood up and, like, knocked the fucking drink and started walking to the fucking stage. And Wilson was like, that's done me one. They didn't call our name. And then he was, like, already in pursuit to the stage. And they're like, Teach These Devils. He just fucking, I was like, that was a baller fucking move, man.
That was great. And then when he won his best... Was a
sketch performer. He was outside.
He was outside, and so he just calls his friend, and his friend's like, James just said, eat my butt.
Yeah.
And I saw some lady like outside being like, I say eat my butt all the time. That's so funny. You're so funny. Yes, he is.
There, I accepted an award. I don't remember what it was for. But
it was the best comedy contest.
Okay, yeah. But so my speech was I already told you this off there, but I'm just telling the listeners.
They want to hear this.
Yeah. Read Osama bin Laden's transcript from the Al Jazeera tape after 9/11. And, like, verbatim. And, like, some people got it. Most did not, which I didn't give a fuck about. But as I was walking off the stage, the lady that was sitting, like, at the end there, like, locked eyes with me and was so angry.
She was, like, that like, kind of cute girl that worked for the Indians?
Yeah. She was not happy with me.
I knew that you were doing something that was said by somebody shortly after 9/11. Yeah. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I had put together that this was some sort of 9/11 speech that you had lifted.
I was like, and including the souls of the 19 martyrs, may God have glory upon them, or something like that. It was entertaining for me. But all around, fucking great show.
Likeably unlikable.
Yeah, see? Exactly like your buddy said. It's a full circle of unlikability. It's like so far over the line that it's like, oh, okay, it's pretty funny.
Well, I mean, we can dive into the guests a little bit. This is my oldest friend in the world, by the way.
Really?
Him since we're 3 years old.
He doesn't look that old.
Yeah. Well, no, thanks. It's like a Benjamin Button kind of thing. He's, he's closing in on the end. He'll be a baby soon enough.
Yeah. What was it, like 2 years old? 2 years old? 3 years old?
3 years old. We met in preschool.
That's crazy.
I don't know why. Been friends. He was like my only friend.
We didn't even live near each other for like most of our lives either.
Yeah, I moved away from Euclid when I was like 9.
And you stayed friends?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I've never.
We come like just hang out for like a week.
Yeah,
and then we roomed together in college for a couple years. And
big mistake.
Yeah, we wanted to kill each other. And then he moved out and we became friends again.
Oh.
We were friends all the time. But
that's right. So he was telling me.
Yes.
Now I just put two and two together. Yeah, the guy that you lived with. We've told the story on here before.
I'm talking about Will.
But the coke dealer,
what's
right?
What's Will doing today? Was
Lord
he?
Knows.
He may have been, actually.
He asked me $1,000 to deal crack. Now, I don't think he ever actually sold the crack. He just kind of had pitched the idea, but he did a lot of coke.
Oh,
and he was a middleman for a lot of drug
and watched a lot of cartoons.
Old black and white love movies on Turner Classic Movies.
That had to be your first encounter with cocoa butter.
Yeah. I don't know if he got like a different kind.
You mean like actual cocoa butter, or were cocoa butter like a nickname for someone that came to do coke with him?
What was the
cocoa
name?
Butter's here.
Was it Tosh?
The girl?
Like that 6'2", 200-pound Amazon? Yeah.
6'2" sophomore.
On the fucking couch?
When I was
on that tweed couch?
That day in that trailer.
Tell us the story about that.
I mean, you know, you're... How old? 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I got this guy just sitting in my apartment with me asking me if I should like smoke weed. That guy didn't ask me anything else because I wouldn't have done it with him, but smoking weed was all right back then, so I'll do that. Little did I know I was going to be gone for 3 hours running off to some trailer in Erie, Pennsylvania with a bunch of cocoa butters.
Yeah.
Literally, I missed class. Like, they did not take me back to school. I was stuck there for
hours.
So it
wasn't like, let's smoke weed here and now. We're going to go on a journey.
It was that kid Andy across like the courtyard. Remember that dude?
Oh, his shady white boyfriend?
Shady white boyfriend, yeah. And he starts driving and... Nas comes on and Will just starts talking. You tune in when Will starts talking, actually. And yeah, next thing I know, sitting in a trailer, mom walks in and I think everybody's like, okay, now we gotta go,
dude. Like,
and that's the story. But that's
he
that's
took
ridiculous.
Me to a trailer park one time. Sat there, just I
was
bought.
Tosh there?
Yeah. I think it might have been. No, she was not at that one. It was a different trailer park.
Yeah.
And I bought some pain pills. Some weed.
I hate when people invite you to do a drug and then there's a location change that goes
the worst.
With that.
Yeah.
It's like, that was lead with that. Do you want to go here?
Yeah, you present me with all these other details.
And
exactly. No.
You're doing something that heightens your paranoia. And then you're just going to fucking change backgrounds like that? Take me somewhere strange?
I had this girl invite me to... like come and hang out, and she's like a cute girl, and I put in the address, and as you know, the east side is always a crapshoot.
Yeah,
but the address that I got was I was pretty sure this is not a good place to go, but I'm like, I'll go check it out. And I get there and it is just the shadiest part of Cleveland. I shouldn't have even been over there that time of night. It was bad. And she's like, "You coming?" I'm like, "I'm here, but I ain't leaving." She's like, "No, come in. It's fine." I'm like, "I don't care. I don't care if it's fine in there. I have to walk 30 yards to get in there, and I'm not going to do it."
How did you meet this girl?
Prostitute. I meet weird girls all the time. Yeah. I have that kind of job.
It's East Siders.
The other day, there's like a Cleveland comedy forum or whatever that people will post on it, like from out of town or whatever.
Okay.
Hey, I'm in town. What are some mics or whatever? So this guy, I don't know who he is, and he posts in the thing. So it gets an alert on my phone every time somebody does. But I need to turn that off because it fucking makes me mad. So it's some like fucking dad comic looking dude. So I was like, all right.
Dad comic looking dude?
Yeah, like an old, like, no, like significantly less TV handsome than that. Okay. Like dad, like 58-year-old dad.
Your neighbor.
You know?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So he's like looking for any Friday mics. Anybody have any leads? And so I was like, yeah, there's this place called AEA or something like that. It's like AEA. Here's the address. It's a show up, go up. It starts after midnight. So I had forgotten about it. What I had done was I Googled sex dungeon and just like pulled up the first address and taped there. And AFA was like Academy of Fetish Arts or something like that. So I had forgotten about it. Like, this is hours later, right? So then later at night, like, I'm at a bar and I get a message from not that guy, but like from another comic.
Comments.
Yeah, that we know. I could tell it was Nick Urich, and he was like, "Hey, I'm here right now, and it doesn't seem like there's anything going on." And I was like, "Oh, I can't believe you fucking fell for that, you asshole!" Like, a bunch of comics went over there, and meanwhile, it's in the fucking like
Anthony Sowell, like, fucking hiding bodies part of East Cleveland or whatever. It's like a hangar. It's like an airline hangar thing. You know, where they park boats or whatever.
Well,
or
how is
like
the sex dungeon not popping?
I don't know.
How is it not at least, like, crowded enough for them to go in and be like, hey, wait
no, I think it was. It was just dark, and they were afraid to go in or whatever. And I was like, oh, man. And in retrospect, like, man, would I have been held liable if one of them got, like, fucking, like,
mugged or something? No, I don't think liable, but, like, it would have weighed heavy on you for a minute.
Yeah, that's tough to come back from.
But, oh, yeah. But what a fucking idiot. Like, you know me. You know what I mean? Like, I see those guys all the time, and I've never mentioned, like, this mic or whatever. You know what I mean? They didn't fucking put it into their phone, and it says Academy of Fetish Arts or whatever. They sound like fucking idiots, these guys. You guys are idiots. I've told you you're idiots to your face, but you guys are fucking idiots.
Dum-dums.
Yeah, one of my better, one of my best work, my best work to date.
Speaking of idiots, I brought you on for a couple of reasons. I wanted to hang out, and I wanted to hear about the people, the idiots that hired you to be a varsity baseball coach.
Well, they are idiots. That is for certain. I mean,
set this up a little bit, Brian.
Yeah. Like, so, Eric. We weren't saying his profession before, but now we kind of have to. Eric's a teacher, the high school teacher. High school
oh,
teacher.
My wife is a high school
and,
teacher.
And so, I mean, your athletic background is pretty interesting.
Nothing related to baseball.
I mean, yeah, nothing related to baseball, but like in high school, only white kid on the team in a, like a. I don't
like Channing Tatum from Coach Carter.
Yeah, like, but much smaller
and worse.
Yeah, so I don't know if Channing was any good in that movie. I can't go there. I mean, but Eric was played basketball, and then we went to college together, and he walked onto the football team and played a year of college football, and then he's teaching now, and they ask him to be the head coach of the varsity baseball team. Yeah. And he hasn't played baseball since fucking eighth grade.
And it's funny because I just sent you that text about that email that I had with that guy.
Yeah, tell about that.
All right, well, I'll get to that. But the last time I played baseball was Pony League, which you're, what, like 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the best memory I had was in the World Series, I got in trouble at the beginning of the game for wiping my hat on the freshly painted lines. So I could be like John Rocker, the racist closer for the Atlanta Braves.
And the ponies do not like that.
No, they did not like that. And then as a center fielder, whenever I get called in, I would sprint in madly like he did.
Oh, that's tight.
And they threatened to take away my warm-up pitches because of my behavior.
What?
Really?
Yeah. They did not like our team. We
why?
Because
you hustled
series.
In? I mean, I whether or not you're trying to be like the racist closer for the Atlanta Braves, including
like,
Indians.
I could just walk in, yeah. Then we'd be wasting time. But no, they didn't like me from the whole hat thing. And but that was the last time that I played baseball. Anyways, I just texted you about New York Mets contacted me. And I don't coach baseball. I don't know how this guy got my email. And he asked me about a pitcher in the area that I teach. So I just had to respond with a blatantly like ridiculous email.
Oh, good. So you weren't just like, yeah. I'm not involved.
No, I sent it around. I said, guys, what do I get to do with this? Why did the guys from the Mets just contact me right now?
I'm very happy that you did the right thing.
You should wrote back like a John Rocker.
I referenced John.
Did you see Cody's where he was trying to buy that desk?
What?
He showed you, I think.
Cody Cooper was trying to buy this desk off of like Craigslist or Facebook or something. And so like he sets up a time to go get it, and the guy's like, "Yeah, cool." And then he's like, "Okay, hey, is it cool if I come now?" And the guy's like, "Oh, I sold it." And he goes, "Oh, bummer." And then he sends like a picture of him bent over naked.
he goes, "If this is still available, I'll take it." And the guy said, "Yes, great, great. When would it be able to pick it up? Tomorrow after 1 p.m. Great. See you after 6 p.m. See 6 p.m. work for you?" He says, "Sure. Sounds good. See you tomorrow." "Hey, Pat, I'm on my way over." Pat says, "Sorry, it's sold." And then Cody sends him this picture. It says, "Here's a picture of me washing my dog." And it cuts off so perfectly, just right as his legs become a butthole.
So what was yours?
Do you want me to read the email? Or?
Yes, right. Please.
So I had to do a little bit of research. I mean, I don't follow baseball that well, but I know the Mets suck, obviously, now. Found out the kid he was trying to recruit goes to North Carolina, but he wants him to go to the Mets. So I said to the executive. Though I am a fan of North Carolina basketball, and Will is currently committed there for baseball, I believe. I don't know. I looked it up. I cannot answer your question as I am not the coach of that high school. I stopped playing baseball in Pony League when the umpires told me I can no longer run in from center field like John Rocker when called in to pitch. They also hated when I ruined their chalk lines with my hat to start the game. Rebel without a cause, I know. However, seeing as how you may be looking for a utility guy or a right-handed pitcher, I'll consider contacting the Cleveland Indians with the idea of trading them Syndergaard, your best pitcher, in mind. Just saying. So, basically, this guy is looking for a kid that goes to my high school. We have two high schools named this in my state. Mm-hmm. If he was a good scout, he would look up our team's record from the previous season.
Now, what has the record been? Like, because it's been years, right?
It's been over a decade. They've won 3 games.
And this guy wants to recruit someone from that team.
Thinking somebody's good enough to be, like, who would go to this school if they're good at baseball?
And how many wins did you have as a head coach?
Zero. I had less runs scored than their total career, like, wins.
Wow.
2 runs in the whole season.
Wow.
Varsity baseball team.
How, is it like a big school?
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, ironically, you know, we have a lot of – it's a very diverse school, black kids, Hispanic kids, white kids. And people kind of look at our school thinking, oh, you know, they're probably going to have some baseball talent because of their demographics. We had, like, all the soccer players. We did not have baseball players. And
because they have to go up in the team. Yeah, like, they're athletes, but they're just not playing.
Exactly. Well, I don't know, because the kids who showed up for tryouts – had no clue how to play baseball.
Right. Baseball is one of those sports that...
If you don't know it, you're way behind.
Yeah.
You're way behind.
It's kind of dying, too.
It's fallen by the wayside because it's one of the more expensive sports to play.
True.
And it's a pretty boring sport if you're a kid.
Right. Is it, like, really that expensive?
Oh, equipment and shit
equipment
is ridiculous.
And shit. Because everybody has to pay
gloves
for it.
You play travel baseball, dude. That's not cheap.
Yeah.
I didn't pay for any of it.
Yeah, your parents did.
Yeah. I don't remember them really complaining about the price, and they were definitely the kind of people to complain about the price.
But, well, you know, even just like a bat, like how much does a bat cost? Like a good bat?
I had a $60 bat.
Yeah, so that's
probably like
a
$150 now, something like $200. Mm. I mean, it's not like hockey, but you're right, it adds up.
It adds up, but especially because the funding is going to football and basketball, not as much to baseball.
Yes, and that's like that
so
at all schools pretty much too.
You're not just paying for the bat, you're paying for... bat, cleats, helmet, gloves, everything.
Batting gloves.
Batting
gloves, yeah.
You would think that you would show up with those items to a baseball trial, but no.
What?
No. It was, where are the gloves at?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. You don't have your own glove? No. Have you played baseball before? No. Why are you here? Well, you know, you said you needed players on the team. I'm literally
on a college application.
I'm literally in my class.
Do you
own
a glove right now? Like a baseball glove? Do you?
Yeah.
I don't.
I do now.
It's probably at my parents' house.
It's a baseball
glove. I probably have a bag at my parents' house that has all that shit.
Yeah, I think I have one somewhere, but I don't, like, I couldn't track it down.
I just, Sarah bought me a football for my birthday. NFL regulation style, so no more throwing koozies around the living room for us.
Yay!
I'd rather have a koozie. That sounds more
the koozie was
that's challenging.
The koozie was fun, but I like breaking everything in my living room.
We played with an XFL ball all through high school.
Like, really?
Yeah, even a couple years into college.
Excellent. That's coming back, isn't it?
Yeah. 2020.
Hell yeah.
Is Vince running it?
Yeah.
Vince.
And he's going to make all of his players stand for the anthem.
Charles Haley. We got to talk about Charles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, but first I looked up this. You said John Rocker, and I forgot what he said exactly about
it's
that.
Pretty bad.
That New York. Oh, it's real bad.
Yeah.
When asked about if he would ever play for the Yankees or the Mets, Rocker responded, quote, I'd retire first. It's the most hectic, nerve-wracking city. Imagine having to take the 7th train into the ballpark looking like you're riding through Beirut next to some kid with purple hair, next to some queer with AIDS, right next to some dude who just got out of jail for the fourth time, right next to some 20-year-old mom with 4 kids. It's depressing. Well, he's got a point there. The biggest thing I don't like about New York are the foreigners. You can walk an entire block.
Cut and dry.
Yeah, you can walk an entire block in Times Square and not hear anybody speaking English. Asians and Koreans and Vietnamese and Indians and Russians and Spanish people and everything all up in there.
He is all.
How the hell did they get into this country? Question mark. Well, that's. I mean, at least he leaves. Well, he leaves nothing to nuance.
Yeah.
Good for him.
In Times Square, a lot of those are tourists, and they're bringing money into our country. Like, they're legit tourists that are there. Now, there's that's probably 10% of them. The other 90% yeah. are there illegally. But you don't have to go to Times Square if you work. If you like, it, Times Square is a very 90%
part of people in Times Square are not from New York or from anywhere near
anywhere.
York.
Yeah. yeah,
I've been in New York like 5-6 times. I've never once been to Times Square.
It's that worth seeing.
I stayed like the one time I went to New York. I stayed about a half a mile from Times Square and did not go to Times Square.
It's a cool place to see, just because it is. I mean, I lived in New York for like 3 months.
Yeah,
in like 2008, and you'd have to change trains there, or and there were some comedy clubs there, and I go there and go from 2008 to what it was last time I was there, like 2016. It felt like you were in a time machine. Like it's shocking, like because there's a couple of different like big screens and like lights and stuff like that, and now it is just giant flat screen everywhere. Like the lights there are so crazy and vibrant. Yeah, like it's cool to just see it. It's cool to just see it. You don't have to go to any of the restaurants. You don't have to go to any shops. But just to go there and see it. Yeah, the subway. Yeah, subway's great. Subway's easy.
Subway's easy as fuck, especially with your phone. You just like it tells you everything that you need to do.
Not with a one hitter in hand. Huh? That is not happening down there. It was a good time.
You tried to hit the one hitter in the subway.
No, I hit a one-hitter and could not figure out how to work the subway. Oh.
Yeah.
I forgot John Rocker also had a Speak English campaign. yes, there's a wonderful picture of – I'm going to put this as the episode title, but like it's John Rocker in a big white T-shirt that says Speak English on it. Again, not a man of nuance, and I respect it. But there's all these pictures on here. I forgot. I'm like down a 90s baseball wormhole. Fucking, there's him getting in the fight with the Mets. Mm-hmm. But then that reminded me of, remember when the Yankees.
To the Mets guy. I was like, what do you think of John Rocker?
Yeah. Remember when the Yankees in Boston fought and Pedro Martinez fucking threw Don, what was his name?
Don Zimmer
to the ground, his big fucking fat head. He just like, he didn't even move. He just let him, and it's like the weight pulled him down. But I remember there was a Saturday Night Live sketch about that.
I remember that.
He's like, I'm sorry for what I've done. Like, he just get mad about little stuff. Why, Ayana? They fucking move him out of the way.
Movie where he jumps out of the fighter, where his dad's running in the backyard, chasing after him, his crackhead, the boxer.
Oh, Christian Bale when he's
the fighter. What are you doing running in here like a silverback gorilla? He's like, well, you had to get him. Well, you got him. Don Zimmer got Pedro that day.
The best baseball fight is still 10 Cent Beer Night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The pictures of that. Everybody claims that they were at that, too. There was like 10,000 people there.
Footage? I've never seen like footage.
I've only seen like
still pictures, I think.
Yeah, pretty much still pictures.
Well, they tell the story rather well, though.
The story of like how it all started, of like them versus the Texas Rangers and Billy Martin. Like, they're like, are you nervous to go back to Cleveland? He's like, nobody's going to be there. So the Indians are like, go fuck yourself. We'll get people here. So 10 Cent Beers. I mean, my dad says that he was there as well. He said all he did was wait in line the entire time.
I'm sure.
Beer lines. They did a horrible job. And so he was always saying, like, I don't know how anybody got that fucked up to do anything that crazy because people were just waiting so long in beer lines. But
I don't think people were that fucked up. I think they're just maniacs.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is a
what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Is like
fighting over this line, probably.
Fuck yeah. The beauty though of all of it is that the Indians did another 10 Cent Beer Night 6 weeks later.
Yeah.
6 weeks later. They didn't learn their lessons. I mean, it didn't go obviously that same way, and apparently they had more beer lines according to my dad, but yeah. They did it again, and it was no problems.
There's that famous picture of the guy like covering his head, getting escorted out by the umpire.
My favorite baseball fight is Nolan Ryan.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah! He beat the shit out of fucking Robin Ventura.
Yes.
It's so hard
to
take Robin Ventura seriously to this day.
Yeah. Robin Ventura is like 24, and he was like 48.
Right.
Older than that, I think. Yeah.
Still throwing
old man.
Yeah.
fucking head.
Just lanky and wiry, and Ron Ventura was, he should have wiped the floor with him, but Nolan just put him in a headlock and
boom,
just started
boom,
throwing uppercuts, and it is the best.
Just looking at Nolan Ryan, he seems like the kind of guy that wears those three-quarter T-shirts just at all times. with the white middle and then the different colored sleeves, yep. He's just constantly in one of those.
I like him. Tighter.
That's the baseball shirt.
That dude was the best pitcher in the history of the sport.
He was such a weird outlier. Like, I mean,
he has more losses than wins, I believe.
Does he? Really? Just because of the longevity of his career?
Incredible. And he played for a lot of shitty teams.
Yeah, he played
teams.
For a ton of shitty teams.
But his velocity, like, there's him and Randy Johnson, as far as starting pitchers go, I mean, how many other pitchers that pitched consistently over 100 can you think of?
I take that back. You only shared Randy Johnson because of Little Big League.
Okay, so how many wins and losses? Because isn't he like the win?
He has the most losses for a pitcher in the Hall of Fame. Okay. Yes. He's 324 and 292, so he's barely over 500.
I did not think that.
Yeah.
What was his ERA though?
3.19. Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty
for someone that pitched for like 25 years. Yeah, that's really fucking good.
He pitched in three different decades. What was 70s, 80s, and 90s.
What was his lowest ERA in a season?
169. He went 11-5 with an ERA of 169 in 1981 with the Houston Astros. Also,
and how many wins did he have? Like 11 that season. How many fucking no decisions did that guy have?
He must have
come out in the ninth and then they blow the game. Like constantly happened to him.
He probably fucked him up in the locker room.
Yeah.
Oh, he only had 21 starts that year. That's probably why he was hurt.
Yeah. Okay.
But, like, he started 807 games. That's a fucking lot, man.
How about the all-time wins record? Do you know what the all-time wins record is for a pitcher?
Cy Young, it's like 700-something or other.
It's less than that. 511.
Yeah. Oh, 511.
Second is like 300-something.
But that doesn't count. You know what I mean? Like, that's when they're pitching that? In like fucking 1893. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How were they able to pitch so often?
Monday,
they didn't really throw any breaking balls, and their elbows were preserved better?
I don't know, man. They probably just pitched through. Like,
if you had a career where you had 20 years of 20 straight 20-win seasons, you'd be 111 wins short.
Right, but then also, think of how much easier it was to cheat back then where you're scuffing up balls.
Oh, exactly. That's what they would probably do.
All that stuff. All those little tricks, putting some oil on the ball, all those things to get moving on it without having to wreck your shoulder and elbow to do it.
Taking that Mr. Burns fucking nerve tonic, the Ken Griffey Jr. shit. Yeah, that's true. Old three finger Brown, greatest pitcher I ever saw.
You didn't have to pitch to black guys.
Yeah, that's true. It's, I mean, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, but the main competitors in baseball aren't black guys.
Latinos.
Didn't have to pitch to Latinos. Is more like
He didn't have to pitch to the level of talent that there is now.
But he was also
Babe Ruth wouldn't be hitting 700 home runs.
It's not like he stepped in. He was throwing him sliders. A time machine, and you know, is taking today's advantages back then. Like, he is from that time, so he is to that time.
So if you take him and put him in our time now, has the opportunity to pitch like a modern day pitcher?
He'd get murdered if you took him from then to now, but like everything has evolved so much.
But I'm saying, like, someone with his skills could pitch as fast as him, could get the same, like, is he going to be a good pitcher?
I wonder how hard he threw, actually. Yeah. You know?
I don't think it was anything. Because I started watching, like, that Ken Burns baseball documentary or whatever. And I forget
it
who.
3 days long?
Yeah. That's why I said I started it and didn't finish it. I can't remember who. It wasn't Onis Wagner. He was the position player. Some pitcher. He, like, revolutionized the sport or whatever.
Walter Johnson?
Maybe it was him. Yeah.
Christy Matthews?
You could say whatever name. Yeah. Whitey Ford? I don't know.
You're pulling out Walter Johnson because of Little Big League again.
It's in my head. You're right. It's definitely stuck in my head right now.
But like,
remember the movie Little Big League?
Yeah.
Is that the one where the Cubs?
And he breaks
No, that's Rookie of the Year, you piece of shit.
There's like four different movies where kids have a significant influence on baseball teams from the 90s. There's Little Big League. There's Rookie of the Year. There's
Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield. And I feel like there's one more that was like way
under Mr. Baseball?
I miss the ridiculous sports movie genre. Like I don't think they're still making anything like that, but they were straight stupid with that shit in the 90s.
Mr. Baseball,
where they lobbied for the dog to be in the basketball
league. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, I guess we can't know anything about it.
So I put Bow Wow in instead.
There's Ed. Do you remember Ed?
Ed, where Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc.
With a monkey.
We'll allow it. This is legal.
There's also a lot more animals doing things.
Yeah,
with humans around.
Yeah,
you have Air Bud. You have
MVP, most valuable primate.
And then we used to call this one kid. I played football with. And also played hockey. He was such a big fucking goon.
Dunstan.
Oaf. You lean on his stick and skate. You look just like that fucking monkey.
Dunstan hilarious. Checks in.
Monkeys had important roles in the '90s.
Whoa, not working like hey, that. Congo.
Yeah,
is that '90s?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah, nice, yeah,
right?
Monkeys had
gorillas.
In the
whoa, kill monkeys in them.
Hey, what are you doing, man? You can't say that.
Hey, man, I thought this was free speech. isn't this the same podcast where we condemned Israel?
We're only allowed left-leaning racism, all right? That means fuck all the Jews, okay? Other than that.
Is that a left thing?
Oh, yeah. Nobody likes Israel on the left.
Yeah, the conservatives love Israel.
And quite frankly, they shouldn't. Oh, yeah. So I've been reading this book. It's called Boys Will Be Boys, and
this
it's about the
dude.
It's about
like
the 90s.
This phrase, Boys Will Be Boys, before.
Probably a
I've heard
times.
About this book. Yeah.
Oh, no. I've never talked to you about this book.
This
he
book,
just got this book
before
he
talked about just
he was telling us about
boys,
this book, and oh, it yeah. is about the 90s Dallas Cowboys.
It's insane.
When they were winning all the Super Bowls, and things were weird.
Absolutely insane. So this chapter is called The Last Naked Warrior, and it's about Charles Haley, who's a fucking lunatic. And the whole reason I bought this book is because the other day, I remember hearing something about this years ago when this book came out, like 2010, how much of a lunatic he was. But Charles Haley was on like the Football Life on the NFL Network or whatever. And, like, they never once mentioned how he's a fucking lunatic, and that's why it
fucking
took him...
lunatic.
Wait, it took him, like, a decade.
He's a football
player? Yeah.
Charles
yeah.
Haley
Wait,
was, like, a...
Browns, he's not the Browns OC, no. That's Todd Haley.
That's Todd yeah. Haley. Charles Haley was, like, a guy? Defensive end and linebacker. He played with... I know he
San
played
Francisco.
With San Francisco and Dallas.
And he had one
that's
of those
it,
giant
yeah.
neck rolls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won 5 Super Bowls. 3 with the Cowboys, 2 with San Francisco. But, so, he was a fucking... like lunatic, right? So Charles, okay, the reputation started with the penis, a fire hose of an organ that brought Haley more pride than any game-winning tackle. As he grew comfortable in the 49ers locker room, Haley would stroll up to an unsuspecting teammate, whip out his phallus, and repeatedly stroke it in his face. Players initially laughed it off, but Haley refused to stop. He would jerk off in the locker room in the training room. He'd wrap his hand around his penis, turn to Joe Montana or John Taylor, and bellow, "You know you want to suck this, or you only wish you had this baby." Charles used to beat off in meetings, and while talking graphically about players' wives, said Michael Silver, who covered the 49ers for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, it got to the point of ejaculation. Can you imagine how fucking scary
what?
That would be?
How
that
a
fucking
much of a
6'6",
300-pound
guy, yeah, fucking talking about fucking your wife, just beating off until he fucking comes staring at you. What a fucking lunatic, man. Like, think
how do
about
you bring
that.
Yourself to actually come in the presence of that many other dudes, like...
Oh, no, there's more.
Other people in general.
Right.
If it was
Sounds
a room
like on
filled
their face
with women,
too.
I'd be like weirded out by
I just,
fucking stroking myself to ejaculation.
I can't even imagine that. Like, I've had situations where it's supposed to be like that, like a dude and a girl, and I'm like, I can't even do this. I really
don't want to even put myself in that
situation.
I put
myself
I
in
the no
situation.
In
I was just like, I can't. I tried. I can't do it.
I've done the locker room thing
yeah,
a lot.
Say,
and you
jerk
it
off in the locker room?
You do some like blatantly homosexual stuff, but nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
I, like, you know, guys will do like fucking dick tricks and they'll like do mangina.
Squirrel on a champ trampoline?
They'll do the fucking batwing and the helicopter and they'll
See,
do
I
all sorts of.
There was that one
thing
he used to say, put your hand out and plop his dick in it.
See, that's
you
just funny.
You walk up
yeah.
to people and just say, put your hand out.
Who's that?
Can I say his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Max.
Say oh, I don't name. Remember him doing that.
What's
his
social
I remember
security
him
number?
Big old donkey.
Did it to
Again, that's like fucking around goofy shit.
Now, I did see a couple having weird a boner.
Things. Yes,
yeah, getting
thing.
Hard in getting general hard. Is amazing. If you're gonna be in a fucking locker room, you to think stroke yourself off, not just stroke
like,
yourself.
He's like the off. Marlon Fears of masturbating.
I seen dudes pee on other dudes' foots in the shower, and one kid, I wasn't there for it, but I definitely know it's 100% real, got pooped on. In the locker room while his own brother was one of the people holding him down.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's gross
lacrosse,
as fuck.
Lacrosse locker room.
Here's another Charles Haley anecdote. Defensive line coach John Marshall instructed him to turn around and show some respect. Fuck you, Haley screamed. Charles, said Marshall, turn your damn body around now. I mean it. No, fuck you, yelped Haley. I gotta go to the bathroom anyhow. I gotta go take a shit. With that, Haley, clad in a gray t-shirt and shorts, rose and left the room. When he returned, he was holding a small piece of scrunched-up toilet paper in his right hand. Before the entire defense, Haley pulled down his shorts, wiped his ass, and threw the soiled paper at Marshall.
Who the fuck does that? This dude is a psychopath.
Wait, there's another one. There's
look at that face. That's the person we're talking about.
But can you imagine that guy fucking, like, stroking off till he comes? Like, I'd be fucking shit in my pants, man.
Oh, my God.
Look at him in his fucking Hall of Fame induction. Look at how nice.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
No, he was a beast. He's a great player.
But it took him so long
for his
to...
skill or this?
Well, it should have been for this.
It took him a while again, though, because there's some...
In contrast to the early portion of his career, when Haley largely kept to himself, as soon as he joined the Cowboys, he felt comfortable. On his first day at Valley Ranch, Haley arrived in the conference room for the defensive film session dressed only in a towel. The next thing you know, Charles is laying naked on the floor and lying in front of the screen, entertaining himself, says Calais, hand on his penis back and forth. When Butch Davis, of all people, the defensive line coach, saw what was transpiring, he stopped the tape. Haley, yelled, get your fucking clothes on and don't come back to your dress. The room erupted in laughter.
Now, mind you, in today's NFL...
Oh, that would be like fucking...
Richie Incognito got in all sorts of trouble for bullying fucking Jonathan Martin.
Bullying.
Yeah.
By the way, also a noted homophobe. He would call people like faggot and shit. Like,
yeah,
all the time.
I read that. Here, real quick before you keep going. Yeah. When you said these things earlier, I wasn't sure if you were fucking with us. So I Googled Charles Haley locker room. The headlines of these different internet articles... The wildest Charles Haley penis and masturbation stories. And towards me he charged, : Charles Haley's bananas. Charles Haley has a giant penis and he wants you to watch him masturbate it.
There's nothing about this. That
with
is.
Regrets, Charles Haley won't apologize.
With regrets.
When Cowboys, Charles Haley tried to kill me. Charles Haley put his penis on Matt Millen's shoulder. Troy Aikman.
Matt Millen, the worst executive in NFL history
ever. Yeah. He sucked.
He just fucked up so many high draft picks. All wide receivers.
Yeah, all wide receivers.
Do you want OBJ?
It depends on what we got to give up for him. Like, they're saying two first-rounders. Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. That's ridiculous.
I would want him, but, like, I also – that would probably not be good for Josh Gordon. I don't think that would bode very well for
Josh
Gordon.
Would you do two first-rounders if they weren't this year?
Nope.
Not at all?
Nope.
No.
What if we got things around and there are higher picks in the first round?
I'd rather take Saquon Barkley and build the offense like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think they need. They got Carlos Hyde,
thinking,
why would
I'm
they get
Chubb? Barkley? I'm honestly liking Chubb at four.
But like, why is everybody so against it? Like, everybody has the argument of, oh, Carlos Hyde. Like, we got Carlos Hyde. Why would you get Saquon Barkley? But nobody's saying we have Emmanuel Ogba. Why would we take Bradley Chubb? Like,
but they run a 4-3, right? They'd have enough spots.
You can bump one down to defensive tackle. They're 270. All three of those dudes, Ogba, Chubb and Myles Garrett are all 270.
Yeah.
So like you're not gonna bump any of them to defensive tackle. And we run the 4-3, and we have three if they're healthy, solid linebackers.
Yeah.
I mean, Schobert was an alternate in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
and he was the only one that would possibly cause you any concern. Kirksey and Collins are both very solid. So we have a solid front seven as is.
I just don't see taking a top four pick. Like, if you want to get another defensive end to kind of build like the Giants did when they made that Super Bowl run, if you start up front and rotate the defensive line, keep everybody fresh, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But, like, don't spend the number four pick. At the same time, if you look at a lot of these backfields and these teams that are having all this success, look at fucking New Orleans last year.
Yeah.
Splitting the touches like that, and then look at the, like, the kind of offense that the Chiefs have run in past years, and look at the offense that the Steelers would run. They're running back heavy, and there's a lot of throwing to the running back. Now, having fresh guys, I hate that Duke Johnson would kind of get lost. I wish it would have been just Saquon Barkley and Duke Johnson.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, Duke Johnson's their best fucking...
The high signing, to be honest.
It doesn't make... Nobody thought that Saquon was going number one, and honestly, my hopes are that this all just gets settled by the Giants trading out of number two. But now the Giants got a fuck ton of needs. Chubb could possibly just go to the Giants.
Yeah. I, like, I'm at the point now where just fucking take Sam Darnold and be done with it. He's been the number one prospect for two fucking years. Like, they've been talking about him going number one since his freshman year at USC. Just take him. Don't fucking fuck around with Josh Allen. He's Deshaun Kaiser part
Everything
two.
Everything I've read about... you know, completion percentages.
They'd never get better in the NFL.
They'd never get better in the NFL.
And he's like, what, 58% or something?
Yeah, 58%. Yeah, like, his numbers.
That's Allen, right?
Very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's Deshaun Kaiser. He's a 6'5" with a cannon arm and a low completion percentage. It has no touch. Like, that's it. You should have just fucking kept that guy if you wanted to develop him.
His first pass of the season, he got sacked and the Steelers scored a touchdown on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just the most like, right, welcome to the show. Do you listen to the Tomahawk podcast?
No.
Oh man, it's fucking great. It's Joe Thomas and Andrew Hawkins' podcast.
No,
it's
awesome. I've heard about it, but I have not.
I highly recommend it. They were like, they have just been going on this, you know, they're really stretching out Joe Thomas's retirement, and they had like people kind of like leave voicemails that they played. They had like all these people leave these voicemails. Like all these different quarterbacks that he played with, Seneca Wallace.
Oh yeah.
Josh Johnson, who came in when what's his name? Thad Lewis got hurt.
Can you name all of them?
Oh
can
yeah.
You name all of them?
Fuck no.
No. I bet I could name a lot of them though.
Yeah, I'm sure I could name a bunch, but I'd certainly miss a couple at least. But Josh Johnson like comes in, and they brought him in like a couple days before that game, and he comes out to the huddle after Thad Lewis gets hurt, and Joe Thomas looks at him and goes, "Wait. Who the hell are you?" He's like, "I'm Josh Johnson. I'm a quarterback." He goes, "Oh, I'm Joe Thomas, left tackle." Fucking great.
Joe's just working today.
He's amazing, that dude. And they had, I don't know who made it, but like somebody called in pretending to be this fake like sportscaster.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about like, "I just finished my third 12-pack of beer, sugar tits. I'm a made man in this city.
Oh.
You're coming into my world."
That's hilarious.
Yeah, like they were just
Who was that about?
About
I
Tony
wonder.
Rizzo?
Yeah, Rizzo, yeah.
No, what?
Tony Rizzo was on his show talking about how all these guys, like Joe Thomas, he thinks...
like, "I'm a made man. He thinks he's going to come into my profession, into my house. I got news for you, Joe. I'm a made man in this fucking town."
Did you hear, like, the whole thing?
Yeah,
he's like
a lunatic.
He's like, "Yeah, Joe Thomas thinks he's going to be a big deal when he's done. Nobody's going to care about Joe Thomas when he's done. Nobody cares about these players. That's what they all think."
Who would ever hate on Joe?
You know, because he won't go on their show, which, you know, why? Because he's a fucking... pled guilty to fucking beating his fucking wife.
Oh, see, I've been gone.
Well, I
don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think he pled guilty to some sort of domestic something or another, like disturbance, but not like... Apparently he was banging on a door and calling her names.
Mm. He's got to be pretty old, though. But
he's
losing it, maybe.
He's in
maybe,
his,
but he was calling himself a made 50s, man and saying, "You're walking into my world." Like,
hate
Dan Levitard so much, but... Like Dan
they were clowning on him so fucking hard.
They played it for Joe for the first time. Like, he heard it live on their show.
They were clowning him on the Levitard show?
Oh, yeah. Rizzo took it.
They're clowning Rizzo on Levitard.
Joe Thomas
funny.
Was a guest.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It was very funny.
Long-time judge, blah, blah, blah. Sentenced long-time Cleveland sportscaster Tony Rizzo on Monday to 30 days in jail on his conviction for persistent disorderly conduct.
He's pissing everywhere.
I don't know.
Speaking of funny, just real quick, we don't need to continue on it, but Kyle Kinane's Half Hour on Netflix.
Oh, is it good?
Fucking hilarious.
He's the best.
So much of it talking about the KKK.
What's his name?
Kyle Kinane.
Oh, he's great.
Kinane. Oh my God, he's funny.
All his specials are great.
They're amazing.
He's so fucking funny.
Whiskey Icarus is amazing.
Yeah. I liked your old stuff better.
Yeah.
So
So what was that first album that he came out with?
Fuck. I listen to it all the time. I can't remember what it is, though. But he's great. He's one. He's literally one of the best.
Talking about going to an arts high school. Sometimes I like to imagine I'm a bird.
What's the bit he does about foe? Like the soup or whatever? He's like, I don't call it foe. Oh, you mean pho? He's like, well, I don't call it a Chile dog or something like that.
No. As you know, your people in other countries going, it's pronounced meatball sandwich. Yeah,
that's, what it that's what it is. Oh, man. Well, we've done almost an hour here.
Okay.
And it's my birthday.
And it's Ryan's birthday. Happy
so,
birthday.
Thank
31.
You. 31. Thank you. So we're going to get
birthday,
drunk.
Bitch.
And, yeah, fantasy boyfriends, we love you.
Tell us who you are, for the love of God.
Tell us who you are. Who you shout are. Out to John Wagner for being a fucking big old fan.
Shout out to Charles Haley.
Shout out to Charles
he
Haley.
Really, he made
his
this,
big fucking dick.
He makes it all worth it.
Yeah. Shout out to Cancer for these cookies.
Yeah, hell yeah. Wonderful.
Actually really, really good.
These cookies
yeah.
are fucking good, and we would not have them if it wasn't for cancer.
It's true.
Like that.
So, at Fantasy Boys with a Z Pod, at Bill Squire, at I am Brian Kenny, at Party All the Ryan, at Eric.
Let's go looking.
Let's see.
All right. I always want to end this by saying go fuck yourself, but that's what fucking Bill Burr does. But it's such a great way to fucking end the thing.
Poop and pee, go Browns.
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 Yeah.